claw.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Footy was back and it was business as usual.
Madison breaks through, gets it away to Brown. Brown's got Gutherson. Gutherson's got over the 20, over the 10. He's got support. Marnie. Marnie's going to get a well-deserved try. Champagne football, Parramatta.
Way back now to Wembley. Fires a bullet to Brooks. Underarm to the Dewey. Gets it on. It's another try. Tommy Talau scores. What is going on?
Brayden Burns, one to beat, back inside.
Scored the try on his 100th.
He stole it out
of Jacob Hoste's hands.
The boys are happy about that.
South Sydney score.
He gets away from Crichton. He gets the pass away then to Dunn. Dunn straightens up, back to Dearden. And then back to Robson. Hey, razzle dazzle. The Cowboys are back, baby.
Brooks, high kick. Mamalo. But he's five short. Gets a pass on the inside. It's a try. Pounder is over. And Kenny Mamalo, he has arrived at the Tigers.
Yeah, round 18 in the books. Liam Flanagan here, joined by Ryan Girdler today, as I will be all this week.
Hey, hello, Liam. How are you? Yeah, massive week in the NRL. Obviously, all those Sydney-based and Melbourne-based sides have moved up into the Golden State there. So, big transition for a lot of those clubs, but still some really good footy played over the weekend. We heard some of it there. And no, I have to say, not too many surprising results, to be honest. Everyone sort of settled in their rhythm quite well.
You'd feel like that with the disruption, maybe we would have seen a couple of upsets. But as I said, it was sort of business as usual with the good teams winning and the poor teams not.
Some silly stuff going on over the weekend too, though. I mean, we've seen, you know, some speedos exposed. We've seen some halftime cuddles.
Let's save it. We are going to talk about George Burgess' speedos a bit later on, but let's get into that straight off the top.
What's cracking?
This is walking off the field. Cody Walker and Lachlan Lewis having a chat. Lachlan Lewis gets up in his face, and then what about that? He's tackled him and thrown him down. Lewis, or is it Conor McGregor?
Lachlan Lewis, half time of yesterday's game between the Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs. They were leading 12-10, and then the cuddle.
Hard to explain. I think Reedy's come out and said that, you know, there were some carryover points there and a relationship that they've had gone back, but just inexcusable given the situation that they found themselves in the lead against the top four side at half time, and then Lachlan, on the back of that decision, then spends 10 minutes at the bin. Inexcusable.
Could you imagine what Trent Barrett would have said to him at half time?
Well, Trent Barrett wouldn't have seen it. He would have already been in the sheds. So he would have got it all secondhand and had to sort of make it up in situ. So I'm not sure what he would have said. But, I mean, the reputation he has in the game is that he's a little aloof and he can make some silly decisions at times. And that was one of his best. That was ridiculous.
And when you say one of his best, one of his worst.
He's had some good or bad ones. Yeah. But
We spoke to Reedy earlier today. Reedy now providing a Monday edition of Reedy's Mail. And his explanation as to why Lachlan Lewis did what he did.
In the last play of that half, Cody Walker ends with the ball, right? He gets tackled with the ball by Nick Meaney. Now, if you remember, Cody Walker and Nick Meaney have history. Earlier this year, Cody dropped a bit of a forearm on the back of Nick Meaney's head. It caused all sorts of angst. And what I'm told is there was a little bit of niggle in that incident right at the end of the half. Apparently, when they got to their feet, Lachie Lewis had a few things to say in defence of Nick Meaney, and it escalated from there. Obviously, Cody fired back. Lewis has got a bit of a lip about him, and he was defending his teammate, and that exploded into that crazy incident we saw on the stroke at half time.
Does that explanation make sense to you as a former player?
Oh, not really. I mean, you can carry some of those into contests sometimes, and sometimes, you know, it agitates and something comes of it, but it was just a really silly call there by Lachlan, and one that he needs to learn from.
Well, it's especially when the Bunnies come out off the back with him in the bin and score 8 points, take the lead, and as the Bunnies do under Wayne Bennett, they're professional enough to never give it back.
All I can put that down to, Liam, is the fact that they went into isolation midweek, he was lonely, and he needed a cuddle. What else can you put it down to?
Surely he can get a cuddle somewhere else. I don't even know if Cody Walker's that great a cuddle.
Well, he didn't look like he was overly into it, did he?
I mean, George Burgess, as we know, as revealing the budgie smugglers, he's shown that he's up for some meat. We'll get to that a bit later on. Maybe he would have been a better person to cuddle. Hey, your Penrith Panthers, one Panther out, one Panther in, they got it done 30-16 over the Warriors.
Yep.
And you're liking this period of the season for the Panthers.
There's a lot of Panthers fans out there at the moment that are a little bit concerned about this little patchy period that we're having. I don't mind it. All eyes have actually been taken off the Panthers at the moment. Everyone's looking at the Melbourne Storm. Parramatta are on a nice little run as well at the moment. And with two key players out, you know, Penrith had a brilliant start to the season, won 12 in a row. That game against the Tigers where they lost their way and they had eight players out with origin or suspension. And then the on the back of that, the Sharks got on the week after. And then they've won their last three. They haven't done it convincingly. And they're certainly not playing the style of football that we saw them at the start of the year. But once Cleary and Luai come back in the next couple of weeks and they click into gear, you can get an indication of what, you know, Luai and Cleary mean to an organisation when you saw what happened in New South Wales when they didn't play last week, you know. Their ability to get the football where it goes and their understanding of, you know, their teammates and the style in which they play is going to put them in a really good position at the back end of the year coming into the final. So I just think this a whole lot of pressure that's been on Penrith the back end of whole last year, the first 12 to 14 weeks of this year, has just been relaxed a little bit. Yeah, there's a bit of breathing space for them. Bring some of these young guys through, work on some of the areas that they want to get better at, and then, you know, apply these two guys at the back end of the season, give everyone some newfound energy and get excited about finals footy. And I think it could be the a really good ingredient for them to go on and win the comp.
Yeah, and just flying under the radar a little bit off the back of what Melbourne Storm did to the Newcastle Knights on the weekend. We're going to stay with the Panthers-Warriors game, Gertz.
What's cracking?
Why not?
Now, this player played 0 minutes, and yet he's made probably the biggest headlines of anyone.
Didn't get a game.
This game. No, he never got into the game.
Why?
Kane Evans.
Was he on the bench, was he?
He was on the bench. And had a special message written on his taping, on his
wrist.
Yeah,
very popular these days, Liam.
We cannot broadcast the message, suffice to say.
Yep.
It was encouraging. It was obviously a message to himself to encourage himself to, if he did get into the fray, to tackle hard.
Yeah.
And perhaps tackle somebody particularly hard.
Yeah.
You've seen the message.
I saw the message, and the first thing I thought was that he'd been playing Texas Hold'em the night before, and when I get a bad hand, I've got to fold him.
Yeah.
What else could it mean?
Fold him.
Just
fold him,
Kane. Just fold him. You get a couple of twos, mate. Don't battle away. Don't be stupid. Just fold them.
In the immortal words
of
Kenny Rogers, Gertz.
You got to know when to hold
them. That's right.
Know when to fold them.
Well, there you go, Kane Evans. You have a new nickname. You're officially the gambler. Off the back of the weekend, with all this upheaval, and we're going to speak to Michael Maguire, the West Tigers coach, in a bit about how his players handled it, were you surprised that the teams with the home games weren't better?
Missed an opportunity. They missed an opportunity.
Well, Broncos, Cowboys and Titans all going down.
All performed poorly. I mean, the Cowboys not so much. They stayed in that against the depleted Roosters side until the 72nd minute or whatever it was where it blew out. But the Titans coming up against Parramatta with our two origin players on home turf with a really settled and consistent preparation and just capitulated.
They were never in it.
They were never in it. They never gave themselves a chance.
Yeah, they scored late, but they were never in it.
And I really thought there was an opportunity for the Broncos on the back of their best performance in a long time against the Sharks a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks off, everyone back, you know, full of energy, big crowd up there at Suncorp. And
taking on a West Tigers outfit that
coming on,
Madge McGuire's going to be on later, but they have not been consistent or good.
Their last three games, they've leaked like 160-something points. And being challenged by the coach. So and you know what? Look, the Tigers played well in patches, but the Broncos were dominant when they needed to be in that first 15 minutes, and then they just made error after error after error to the point where Kevy was just bright red. He needs his blood pressure checked because they just fell away and capitulated, and the West Tigers ended up walking away with it.
End of the season and the opportunity to really sort of get clean out that place a little bit more and let Ben Eichen work his magic can't come quick enough for the Broncos. The other, we're talking, Madge McGuire, as we said, will join us very shortly off the back of yesterday's win over the Broncos. But this weekend, they take on a Manly outfit that, with no Tom Trbojevic, Daly Cherry-Evans, or Jake Trbojevic, just dominated the Dragons, 32-18. They got the job done on Friday night. But without those three players, we've seen them last weekend, the Raiders got at them. And yet this weekend, it's kind of like they learnt all the lessons.
Yeah.
And you started to see the emergence of some of these kids.
It's exactly what you need at the back end of the season, especially during Origin time. And this is why this period's all about. It's not just about young guys coming in and getting opportunities. It's about, you know, current members of the squad standing up under pressure when some of your big name players aren't there and finding a way. And I especially saw that with Schuster. He knew that without Tom there, without DCE there. Now, if you go to their try-assist throughout the year and you take DCE and Tommy out, it doesn't leave a lot. And this guy went out there with an attitude of, well, I'm going to make something happen, with a consistent performance from Foran, who just steered him around the park beautifully and kicked well and defended, as he always does, brilliantly. These young guys, it was young Schuster, Paseka, who's just been developing brilliantly over the last 12 months.
He's still only 23 years of age.
He's a proper front row. When they let Adam Fanua-Blake go at the back end of in the middle of last year, or the back end of last year, everyone thought, why the hell would you do that? And this guy's now, you know, made that spot his own. His combination with Marty Tapau, who's off contract at the end of the year, is a good one. You know, you've got a lot of balance there, and they're certainly going through the middle.
And then Olakau'atu.
Olakau'atu, mate. Olakau'atu was a guy that Freddie had in his plans. Didn't want to take him into the squad because they had a game on. And didn't want him to miss a game. On that right side, he's an absolute handful.
He was in the plans for New South Wales.
He was in the plans to go into the squad, the same as
Yutoi Kamanu from the West Tigers.
Yutoi Kamanu?
Yep.
From the West Tigers. You took the words right out of my mouth. And Freddie said, look, I decide just to keep him in his spot there, make sure he gets his game for Manly, because they didn't have the bye, and he's been doing a wonderful job. Mm. And these are the guys that now they get to a certain level, and when Turbo come back and when Cherry Evans come back, they need to make sure they consistently play at that level.
Mm.
Yeah, they just can't fall away now and just think that it's going to happen around these two guys. They've taken themselves to a certain, put themselves in a good gear now to really contribute, and they're going to need to do that against the really top sides, because you can't, if you're Manly, you can't just think, oh, if we've got DC and Turbo, we're going to compete against the better sides at the back end of the year. You need 8 or 9 of those guys to be playing at their best and really making a contribution if you're going to compete. And, gee, they've got some talented players coming through.
And
their system looks good.
Let's not forget the fastest man alive, Jason Saab, the 20-year-old on the wing as well. He's just emerging.
He's had a great season.
Well, so.
Had a good year.
There's real green shoots for this Manly Seagulls tonight. And, you know, for those of us who were savvy enough and forward-thinking enough to tip them at the beginning of the year to win the comp, I mean, you know. If
Let it go.
Oh, that's right, Artie.
Anyway. I don't know if they're going to win the comp, mate.
Well, I mean, find out.
They're on their way.
We discussed Lachie Lewis's brain fade earlier on at the show. But that yesterday, the Bunnies Bulldogs game, it must have been something in the water.
Yeah.
Because Tom Burgess is getting his ass out. Tom Burgess is flashing his budgie smugglers mid game.
So good.
And
it's great to see.
Which would have been weird enough.
Yeah.
But the fact he's wearing budgie smugglers that have written across the backside, and he's got sufficient a backside that he could fit this sentence.
That was billboard.
Big on meat.
Big on meat.
Big on meat.
Big on meat. Thin on pastry. I think finishes the line there. But I just like to see it. You know, the post-try celebrations and sports bet and the way that they've come out to the Mossy Masoi.
Fantastic course.
Charity has just been amazing. And so we've seen some really good ones. I liked young Curran from the Warriors one. His try was unfortunately disallowed. But he struck the lawnmower up. I was a big fan of Viliami Kikau's, you know, had a little shot of Carver there after a couple of tries.
Yeah,
so
it was good.
The boys are getting really creative, and Tom just thought he'd get in the act there and showed off big on meat. And it got me thinking about things that I would have on my budgies if I got into that situation. What did you have any? I got a couple.
Highly flammable.
Highly flammable,
just
with
flames.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about enter at own risk at the back there? Oversized, goes without saying. Handle with care. Slippery when wet. I mean, the mind boggles.
And yet,
good on
somehow,
you. Good on you, Tommy.
Somehow it feels like you've given this plenty of thought.
No, I just came up with that.
Yeah, righto. Girds, off the back of the weekend of rugby league, there's something more rugby league related to get excited about tonight.
Yep.
KO, 7:30 p.m. This new documentary goes to air. Wild West, Tales from Tiger Town. The first episode, four episodes, the first episode drops tonight. Here's a little taste.
What you're building is right. All right? We're all hurting at the moment, boys. I understand that. But what you're going to understand here is that you know, I keep going back to, hell. Got me, you blokes. Well, I just saw the effort out there is what we're about as a team. You keep putting that effort in, we'll keep growing this team.
As you can hear, it's a pretty raw look inside the West Tigers organisation, behind the scenes, and it is a pleasure to welcome in the coach. And I guess, do we call you a lead actor now, Michael Maguire? G'day, Madge.
G'day, let him know. I'm far from that, mate. I'm not quite sure how everything will go tonight, but look, I guess, it took a bit of convincing to start with to allow the cameras in, but I guess it was something there that we'd like to show, or the club would like to show as well. You know, what it's like to be in the inner sanctum, and I never thought I'd be doing this, mate. I've going to be very interested to see how it all turns out.
Madge, well done, mate, because so many people just don't understand what goes on in behind the four walls, and you give them a real look behind the curtain, and you're obviously conscious that your peers are going to be watching and the fans are going to be watching and you're going to be judged by all. What are you excited about the most in relation to having this come out and letting people see the way the West Tigers operate?
Yeah, Gers, I guess everything in a club, really. It's passion, it's emotion. You know yourself that there's a lot of hard work, effort, all the words you can use about what goes into, you know, building a successful team. And I guess everyone's going to really have a front seat to see what it looks like. You know, obviously off the stuff that you've just spoken about there, you know, it's raw emotion and passion because, you know, you believe in your players and you work hard to get the boys to get the results that we all desire. And in the sporting arena, sometimes you don't get them. So you're facing a fair bit of adversity at times and also the highs as well.
Was it hard for you to stay on track and really be you? Were you ever conscious of the cameras and did you have to pull back or were you just all in?
To be honest, Gerz, I had no idea they were there. You know, they're there, but Fox did a really good job about just being in the distance and really not being present. So sometimes, you know, there's things that I've said and which are quite personal and those sorts of different things. So, you know, those things I'm aware that the potential of that coming out may, you know, show that us in a different light. But what I would like to say is that, you know, it's going to show our fans and what rugby league fans are about what goes on in club land. So, as I said, it's going to be really interesting.
And what about from a player's perspective, Madge? How hard were they to convince, if at all, to allow this to go on as well? And did they have a say in the fact?
We spoke about it with the players. I guess from an organisation point of view, they were very keen because of, you know, everything that goes on around the club is allowed to be seen. So it's not just about the players as well. It's about the makings of a club and what goes on in the background. But the players themselves have been very good about it. And as I said, you never really knew that the cameras were around. You know, the way they did that, it was, you know, they were always away from the playing group and you know, every now and then you'd sort of see a camera wander through, but it was never really in the way. So the players themselves wouldn't have known it was happening in and around them.
You had a look at it, Madge?
I've seen snippets of it. So, it'll probably be the first time that, to be honest, I probably won't even watch it. I'm about, what we need to do for the team. And, yeah, you know, we've obviously off a, you know, strong performance there yesterday from the boys, but also know we've got plenty of work to do. So,
well, that is endorsement enough. If you've got the coach conceding that he wasn't aware the cameras were filming, that is endorsement enough to watch this tonight. Wild West, Tales from Tiger Town. It debuts 7:30. The first episode will drop tonight, 7:30 p.m. You can watch it on Fox League, Channel 502, Fox 8 and KO. Madge, yesterday's performance against the Broncos, a much-needed win, but the comment you made previously about needing to find some men that wanted to play for the football club, it seems like you might have found a couple yesterday.
Yeah, I guess what I meant by that was players, men, you know, whatever word you use, is that we all wanted to be accountable for what had happened over the last few weeks. And I feel that the players definitely have done that. And my men, you know, they've gone about what they need to do to get a result yesterday. But we also know and acknowledge that, you know, we've got plenty to do. You know, we put ourselves in a bit of a tough position in the first half, but it was really nice to see the boys fight their way through it. And then, you know, grow into the game. So we've got to take our momentum off the back of that and then the beliefs about what we're doing. And as I said, I know the players themselves are working diligently in the background to be an improved team all the time.
Madge, tell us about the upheaval during the week and how that affected preparation.
Our boys were actually pretty good, Gertz. Mate, to be honest, it's actually been good for us, you know, to get together and come together. And I think the players themselves have really taken it upon themselves to get closer and build the bonds. We're locked away. We are in hotel rooms, and you usually go from your hotel room to dinner and breakfast, and then you go back to your hotel room, and then you jump on a bus and you go to training. So that's pretty well our life at the moment. But you know, there's a lot worse going on around us, so we're pretty lucky to be doing the things we're doing.
What about young Stefano Diotoikamano? How did he come back from the experience of State of Origin camp?
He's definitely grown. I think any young player going into the State of Origin and watching and observing, you know, some of the best in the game, you're always going to come back with a little bit extra confidence, a little bit more knowledge. And you know, to watch him play yesterday, I thought he was outstanding for us. You know, the way he's come back into the team, and you know, he started for us and he was very solid in the middle. So it's going to be a real benefit for him moving forward in his career.
Did Freddie have a little chat to you about before he made that decision?
No, he didn't actually. No, I think Freddie's always had an eye on Steph. Stefano, you know, from the early days of when they were coming through as young players. And I actually reckon it's really good what Freddie did was bring in the future of where the New South Wales team's going. So I think those experiences are you know, real valuable for the makings and building your depth in your squads.
What have you made of Dane Laurie's first year at the club, Madge?
Mate, he's been really good. Obviously, you know, there's still plenty in him too, which is great. I think just the little intricacies of the fullback position, there's so much now that they do, whether it's a defence or an attacking type play. You know, there's a lot there that he's still learning. But I just love his natacity. We'll get that word out. What he does, and he's just a tough kid. He just loves it, you know, and there's not a lot of him. So he's still growing into his body. So those are the sorts of things that he's just going to continually improve as a player.
Well, we can't wait to see the battle, the fullback battle this weekend when West Tigers go head-to-head with the Manly Seagulls, and there's a bloke by the name of Tom Trbojevic wearing the number one for Manly. So look forward to seeing how Dane shapes up against him. Terrific win yesterday, Madge. Well done, and congratulations in advance on new documentary, Wild West Tales from Tiger Town. It premieres tonight at 7:30 p.m. Madge says he's not going to watch it.
Yeah.
But Madge, I'll watch it and I'll give you the rundown, okay?
I'm sure you'll get a fair bit of that.
Madge, we appreciate your time.
Well done,
enjoy
Madge.
The week. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
We come to the end, and as we finish every Monday show,
has MG been paying attention?
With special guest contestant Ryan Curdler today.
Been a great show. It's how flying. Much fun have we had?
It's flying. Now, are you aware of how we play? Has MG been paying attention?
Of course.
Yes.
I listen to the show every evening.
Exactly. So you'll know that the way the game is played is I'll play you audio clues from various sport over the weekend. You need to tell me the sport and the story.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah, you
I've had a busy weekend, mate. I've caught about 8 games on the weekend, so do excuse me.
Well, so this is the beautiful part. This is all outside the world of rugby league.
I know.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. How much time do you think I got? Anyway, go. I'll do my best.
First one, what's the sport? What's the story?
Okay.
So at 24, it's so hard to look back at the short 2 years that I've been a pro and see what I've done because I want more.
Oh, lots of
clues. Sounds like the British Open winner, was it? So golf. Last,
it is a Morikawa, performance from 24-year-old Colin Morikawa.
There you go. You're all over it.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding.
I got one.
Did you watch any of the golf?
The accent? No, I didn't.
Okay.
But Spieth, hey, Jess.
Yeah, threw it away a little bit. Jordan Spieth, fellow American. Colin Morikawa, at 24 years of age, has now won two majors. He's basically, it's him and Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
That's his first time not only playing in the British Open, but playing on a links course.
On a links course. Yeah, my favourite course. I love a links.
Oh, do you?
No, I don't know.
The highest placed Aussie finish was Cameron Smith, the mulleted one who had a really disappointing three over final round.
Yeah, his final round was poor.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was poor. He probably had a few too many on Wednesday night after the Queenslanders won Origin.
Yeah, just cut your hair, Cam. Righto, next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
Back away, it's stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul and a pinnacle ball throws it down.
Buck Sun, baby. Buck Suns leading 3-2. And that was my man, Big Giannis, wasn't it, with the Holiday, the alley-oop. basketball, and that's the playoffs. What do you want me to say? How much detail do you want?
Away from their first title in 50 years.
I can never pronounce his last name. What's his last name?
Have a crack at it.
No.
No, have a try. No, I mean, you got his first name wrong.
What's his first name?
Well, you don't pronounce it Giannis.
What is it?
It's Giannis.
Giannis.
Giannis. Giannis. Like, imagine there's a Y there.
Okay.
Have a crack at his surname for me. Starts with an A, and there's lots of syllables.
Yeah, no.
It's pronounced Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, you're close. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Yes.
But did I get it right?
You got close.
What
you
do
got
you mean?
The, you got the story right.
Okay,
sorry.
There you go.
Yeah. No, bang on.
Right.
The Bucks have taken a 3-2 lead.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people thinking this was going to be a
walkover
for the Phoenix Suns,
exactly,
but now
right.
Game 6 will be in Milwaukee Wednesday 11 a.m.
They were down 16 points at quarter time. Dug themselves out of a massive hole.
Giannis
playing
has had
well.
Two absolute
Giannis.
Monster moments.
What's his last name?
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The faster you say
it, he's a player. He's a, you know, I like a lot of different things about him. Have you seen some of his post-game presses?
He's funny.
Yeah, he's a good human.
He's funny.
I like him.
Funny, funny man. Mm-hmm. And he's got great taste in names as well. Named his young fella Liam.
Did he?
Yeah. He's got a long, Liam Antetokounmpo. Okay. Which is what mum and dad were going to give me as a middle name. All right. Last one, Gerds. What is the sport? What is the story?
That's a big crash into Cubs.
Ah, that'll be the Grand Prix.
Yes.
That might be old Louis boy running off Maxi boy. Would I be correct?
He wins the British Grand Prix for an eighth time. And
Hamilton
is back in the championship hunt.
Bang, bang, bang. Three for three, Gerds. Did you watch any of the British Grand Prix, Silverstone, this morning?
Oh, no, I didn't get up and watch it. I do like my Grand Prix, but no, I read a little bit about it this morning.
Mm.
Not a big Lewis fan, to be honest.
It's hard to like
him. He's a hard guy to like.
Yeah,
but
very
he gets the job
successful.
Done, mate. Gets the job done.
I believe that was career Grand Prix win number 100, actually.
Yeah.
Obviously, he holds the record
now.
Went past Schumacher earlier in the year. But yeah, had a collision with Max Verstappen, his main rival for the championship this year, on lap one.
Yeah.
290 k's an hour.
I know.
And Verstappen's gone into the tyres.
Didn't look good.
Oh, it looked
tried
grim.
To. Didn't apologise either.
They don't like each other.
No.
They don't like each other. I don't care how much champagne they spray in each other's face. They're not friends.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? Well, they're on the podium afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Dan Ricciardo's best result for McLaren as well.
Yeah.
Finished fifth.
Yeah.
Did really well to hold off Carlos Sainz from Ferrari.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
you loved some of those moves, didn't you?
He drove well.
Yeah, he drove well.
Yeah. I think he had the wrong tyres on for the middle part of the journey, but hey, he handled it well. A little bit more PSI.
We go. Should have gone to the servo just down the road and whacked it in.
Yeah, mate, they look flat.
Set the PSI up a bit higher. Hey, a quick shout out as well to Western Australian Ben O'Connor, who finished fourth in the general classification of the Tour de France.
Okay.
Won by Slovenian Tadej Pogacar.
Mm-hmm. Ben could do with a few extra PSI as well.
He needed some more PSI.
He did, in the back rear.
This Pogacar kid from Slovenia, he's 22.
Yeah.
And he's won two Tour de Frances.
No, he's going well. He's avoiding all those people holding up signs, which is important.
All right, very good. This has been the Rush Hour with Liam and Gerds. Gerds will be in with us all this week while the Wild Panther has a much-needed R&R rest and recuperation. On behalf of MG, he's Gerds, I'm Liam. Thank you for your ears. Wherever you are, stay random.